fears that the Rittenhouse acquittal would lead to further political violence have so far been underwhelming. And with more conventional judicial findings on the 2017 Unite the Right rally and the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, can Americans still feel justice is being served? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Kyle Rittenhouse, we discussed last week, acquitted of all charges in regards to the shooting of protesters in Kenosha, determined to be self-defense. He's been on the press junket since, where, interestingly enough, Ed, he claims not to be a racist and, in fact, a supporter of Black Lives Matter. That's caused a real stir on certain sections of the internet. Any thoughts?
Well, I think Kyle Rittenhouse is a 17-year-old or 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm. 17 at the time, like it, yeah.
He's behaving like one. And some of the things he's saying, he thinks will be helpful to him. And other things he's saying are just what somebody told him to say. I don't think he has really his own mind on anything. We'll see how this guy works out. If we're on 5 years from now, we'll do a post-Rittenhouse. Because by then, all the charm will be gone of having him as an intern in your office. When the suits start, people will say, well, I'm not sure I want you on the job here. And if he becomes president of Black Lives Matters, we'll have something to talk about. In the meantime, I think his life is going to be perfectly miserable.
Fears that the acquittal would lead to further violence. That certainly was the first thought for a lot of people when an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade in Wisconsin, killing six. Turned out to be unrelated, but, you know, I mean, fingers are very quick to get pointed at different incidents.
Yeah, well, that's the color of the perpetrator made that happen. But I think now people, after Rittenhouse, are wondering about their safety in general in an escalating place of violence. And until the guns and everything else are taken away, and maybe until people like the guy who drove through all those people actually are jailed when they have warrants on them, and some form of rehabilitation takes place, this is just going to go on and on. This is a plague bigger than COVID, more vicious and more random. So until America takes care of being Deathville, it'll be a very bad place to live.
In a similar vein to this, though, we did see those involved in the organization of the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally found liable in a verdict this week. And look, three men convicted of murder for the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in a frankly bizarre case where these men saw Arbery, tried to place him under citizen arrest for the charge of existing while black. He wasn't actually involved in anything. He was out for a jog and ended up, of course, killing him. Is these cases enough to feel that justice is still being served, Ed?
Well, the good thing about this is they're going to court. They're not the lynchings. Lynchings only stopped in the 1960s. They're not kangaroo courts. They're real courts. So now the courts are probably the last fabric of social harmony in America. And you notice there were no riots after the Wisconsin verdict. And I haven't heard of any riots after the Arbery verdict. So I think the most interesting thing is Black Americans believe in justice in the American way more than white Americans do. And they're not trying to take people's rights away. They're trying to make sure that people get them. So it's going to take a lot more years to get through this. People fail to remember, up until the 1960s, that blacks were treated like animals in America. And I won't talk about Australia, where some of that still goes on. So I think there's a long road to hoe. The other thing that not many people are paying enough attention to. We pay a lot of attention to the underclass, very, very poor people, many of whom were Black. Now, if we start counting the homeless in America, it's pretty equal, Blacks and whites, young and old. But if you start looking at who's rising, the middle class is becoming Latino and Black. It's hard to go into any store, any place, without having Latinos and Blacks filtering into those good jobs.
Mm.
And that's causing a little bit of internal resentment in the United States. It is not a melted pot yet. It's a melting pot. And it may melt away. Over a third of Americans in the new marriages are marrying someone other than a person of their own race. So this pot is being stirred. The National Rifle Association is on the nose. It too is being sued, unable to pay its bills, unable to get its message out. The message is now that we're going to start suing the gun companies. So this may go the same way as smoking, but the underlying feelings have to be dealt with in a different way.
Well, for the white supremacists we mentioned there and others involved, I do have some good news. And look, no, I do think this is actually really good news because it is a terrible part of the American justice system. Private prisons. Biden is vowing to rid America of private prisons and has signed an executive order terminating federal private prison contracts, although activists say he hasn't gone far enough. What's happening, Ed?
Well, I think the whole private prisons thing has been a system designed to imprison people because you get paid by the number of people in there. And we've heard all these stories about young people in certain rural towns. As soon as they got to be the right age, they were arrested and sent off to one of these private prisons. This is probably the way the system has to work to stay alive. It has to feed on the bottom, and the private prison is another way of feeding on the bottom. I think eliminating the private prisons will only escalate the public ones. But the incentive to put people in jail for that purpose will probably be reduced. But until something like this new Biden bill is passed, which provides the right stuff for kids to start, the right stuff for moms and dads to raise them, this is going to continue.
COVID cases are rising, but so are vaccination levels. 6 in 10 Americans are now fully vaxxed. Kids are able to start getting theirs, and boosters are being encouraged. The Justice Department has asked a federal appeals court to reinstate vaccination or testing requirements for private businesses set to start in January after a ruling blocked the Biden mandate with dozens of legal challenges from Republican states and private businesses kind of being consolidated in order to be heard. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think this is what's going to happen. I think that Biden will play Trump here. He'll string it out. and that's all he really has to do, because the number of people getting vaccinated is increasing because the employers are using this as pressure to get those vaccination rates up.
Mm.
I suspect what will happen, and I have no jurisprudence to back this up, that the OSHA requirements will be simplified to say every firm must have a COVID-proof policy, as we do here in Australia.
Mm.
So a COVID-proof policy means people get vaccinated or they get tested. And how many times do you want to be tested? I think there are 2 or 3 football players remaining, 1 notable basketball player. Getting tested every day is not happy land.
Mm.
Not being able to play in your favorite arena is not happy land. Having a separate locker by yourself is not happy land. On the other hand, I think that the public should not bear the burden of people who fail to comply. And they should be the last people in the hospitals, not the first.
And again, relating back to the pandemic, weekly jobless claims have fallen dramatically to their lowest levels since 1969. 199,000 Americans filing unemployment claims, a huge drop from 700,000 this time last year, suggesting people are getting back to work and the workforce is in fact expanding, contrary to claims made by some big businesses who say that no one wants to work. What do you make of it, Ed?
Well, I think both of those things are true. No one wants to work for those big firms. Those big firms were actually slave camps. And people learned during COVID that there were other alternatives. They had a chance to sit back, reflect, and think about what the possibilities are. So for the first time, I think, in 50 years, union movement is up, including so-called gig workers are unionizing and organizing to get the best they can. With the profits being what they are, there's plenty of money to go around. And I think better jobs, in fact, make better people. If you think about it, if you're not anxious about your work and you enjoy what you're doing, the chances of you doing something very good are far better than they were if you're miserable. So my expectation is that this is really a good sign of people picking and choosing. A lot of bad employers are going to go out of business. A lot of smart employers are going to put in profit sharing plans. A lot of people are going to go to on a 3-day week or a 4-day week with the employer support. And Biden doesn't have to worry about family leave. I think any employer in America is going to offer that as a way of getting people to come to work.
Mm.
So I think the signals are right. And this is a left and right issue. People don't like to be mistreated on their work, no matter whether they're wokes or gokes. So I think this is a good movement. It hasn't settled everything. And I think we'll have to wait until after Christmas. But I anticipate when these real jobs start hitting, everybody who's in the freighting business, everybody's in the engineering business is going to be looking for people. Training programs are going to be up. People have jobs that they enjoy doing every day. That's going to make a big difference in America.
And I just wanted to touch on this one. China has accused Joe Biden of making a mistake by inviting Taiwan to participate in a democracy summit alongside 109 other democratic governments. China really doesn't like when people refer to Taiwan as an independent nation. The US's One China policy acknowledges Beijing's claims to Taiwan as a province, but does not say it recognizes the claim. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, this has been a real thorny one that I faced myself in doing my work as an urban planner, because when you have a conference, and you have two groups of people from China coming, and one group's from Taiwan, and the other group raises a fuss about them even being there. That presents a political problem and basically a social atmosphere and academic atmosphere. Propping up Hong Kong and Taiwan has to be done, because this is the only way to really get at the economic underbelly of China. You can't get at it directly. At Christmas, everybody's buying toys made in China. So if you can get Taiwan and Hong Kong to be sticking point, you can negotiate. But if you can't negotiate. As I said last week, the Taiwanese are the brains behind the toy factories and the other factories in the mainland. Hong Kong is the only place you can get hard currency. So this kind of diplomacy, where you rub the Chinese in areas where they don't like to be rubbed, may lead to some better outcomes. On the other hand, you have to give them a way out. And I think the way out is, you can play with us, like with children, but you can't bring your own bat and ball.
Mm.
We'll supply, everybody will have the common balls, the common bats, the common play stuff. And the Chinese are beginning to see that may be to their advantage as soon as they get their economic system in order.
And before we move on to the last question today, we should acknowledge a historic moment. Kamala Harris became the first woman to hold presidential powers in the United States this week for 85 minutes, while Biden was placed under anesthesia for a routine colonoscopy. Somehow, look, Ed, it didn't all come crashing down in those 85 minutes. The Earth's still spinning.
Well, I thought you were going to honor Thanksgiving for us Native Americans. Having saved those white folks, it hadn't done us a whole lot of good. That story about saving the whites is an apocryphal story. No one knows whether it happened or not. Something like that did happen. And what people in America have to be thankful for is it brings families together, no matter what their political divides. On Thanksgiving and football matches, they're all together. And Uncle Harry is always crazy as ever, and Aunt Jane's always silly as ever, but at least Americans are together on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was indeed leading out what we're thankful for, closing some of those divides, huh?
Yeah, the divide is going to close, I think. Young Americans aren't so young anymore. They're reaching their 30s and 40s. And as they start taking positions in public life, things are going to change immensely. It's interesting when you see the Republicans on the stage, it's almost all white men with gray hair. And you see the Democrats on the stage, it's a bit of everybody. Until both parties appeal to everybody, America's in trouble.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well, US of Ed. And Ed and I's other podcast, Pacific Conversations, well worth a look in as well for delving deep into some of those political issues that crop up in both the United States and Australia.